Good morning. Welcome to our sermon for Sunday, March 22nd. This morning is a first for Olivet Church. I hope that the Lord our God will bless you in this time spent in His Word. This morning our text will be from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. These past few weeks have brought us many difficulties. Dealing with a nasty virus, it has brought unemployment or the threat of it. Fears for our health as well as the well-being of our families. We can find ourselves wondering, what is God doing in all of this? This morning we will learn that God will use this catastrophe to bring Himself glory. He will use it to make us stronger in Him. And He will show us that when we trust in Him, we can have joy in spite of the chaos. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are a sovereign God. You are gracious, You are loving, You are kind, You are compassionate, and Lord, You are in control of all things. And Father, this place that the world finds itself in, Father, You know everything that is happening and everything that will happen. And Father, we are blessed to be able to share in the riches of Your word and Your truth. We thank You for the way it satisfies our hunger. And Father, we open up our hearts to receive Your gift of joy this morning. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 23. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. A fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. In verse 10, we find the Apostle Paul rejoicing greatly in the Lord, because now, after 10 years, the church in Philippi has shown their love and concern for Paul, sending Epaphroditus with a much-needed gift. Have you ever received a gift from out of nowhere? One you didn't expect? Or have you been in a situation where you just couldn't find a solution, and out of nowhere, someone just helps you? That's what the Philippians' gift is like for Paul. Paul is chained to a Roman guard, unable to go and share the gospel of truth with people, and Timothy is trying to help Paul. Paul is satisfied that he is where God wants him, and he is okay with that. Then, out of nowhere, Epaphroditus appears with a gift from over 800 miles away, from friends he hasn't seen in years. Paul rejoices greatly in the Lord, not for the gift, but because of the love and care demonstrated by his brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is point number one. He knows that the best way to express gratitude is to rejoice in the Lord. There is no greater expression of gratitude than to say, I thank God for you. For the church in Philippi to track down Paul was not an easy task. Today, if we want to get in touch with someone, we can email them, phone them, text them almost instantly. That was not the case for the church in Philippi. It would take at least 2 months for them to hear that Paul was in Rome, then another 2 months for Epaphroditus to deliver their gift. It took Paul to be imprisoned in Rome for them to have the opportunity to express their love and care for him. This morning we are going to learn about the secret power that enabled Paul to travel thousands of miles to share the message of God's love to total strangers in the face of fierce opposition, beatings, imprisonment, spending days in the sea, and still be content. The secret power that encouraged Epaphroditus to step up to the task of delivering money and care to a person hundreds of miles away, risking his life in the process. The secret power that inspired the church in Philippi to give gratefully to the Lord's mission repeatedly. The secret power that empowered the young man Timothy to stand with his mentor in times of strife. In verse 11, Paul says, "I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." This word content, autarkos, is used only here in the Bible. It was a common word used by the Stoic philosophers of Athens, who defined it as a person who can endure pain or hardship without showing their feelings or complaining. But Paul had learned how to be satisfied in any circumstance and how to be supplied in every need, because Paul saw it as having sufficiency in Christ alone. Point number two, it is not natural for us to be content. We are not born content. Our natural drive is to get more. From the time we are young, we seek to keep looking for something new to satisfy our senses, and at least temporarily, our desires. We are always striving for something. From the beginning of time, back with Adam and Eve, eating the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because they wanted more. Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Even Paul admits that he covets in Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "Do not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from the law, sin is dead. See this in Hebrews 13, verse 5 as well. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." This is the exact opposite of what is pushed on us every day. Flyers, billboards, radio ads, TV, and on social media. We must have the latest phone or you're going to be the last person without an iPhone. It is not wrong to have these things, but it is wrong to covet them. In verse 12, Paul testifies that he knows what it is like to be in need, and he knows what it is to have plenty, but he has learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul implies that poverty and wealth are equally regarded as trials. It was King Solomon who demonstrated the ultimate test of satisfaction. He had the greatest knowledge of God. He had more wealth than he could spend. He pursued pleasures like no one else and perfected creative excellence in his building. Ecclesiastes 2:10-11. Solomon says, "I denied myself nothing. my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. James 4:1-3. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something but don't get it. You kill and covet, but you cannot have. You cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Contentment is not having all that you want. True contentment is wanting only what you have. Which brings us to point number three. And here is the secret to contentment. It is to do what the Lord desires. He will empower us to do it. Paul gives us this secret, which is our memory verse in verse 13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the secret of being satisfied in every circumstance. If you are unwilling to learn the secret, you will not be enjoying the contentment. John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The reason he can enjoy in such distressing circumstances is that he has discovered the secret of rejoicing in all circumstances. That is the discovery of a totally adequate God. This is the secret of the Apostle Paul, and it is the secret of every victorious Christian. Verses 14-16. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Paul reminds them of the last time they had helped him and Silas from Acts chapter 15. In Lystra, he meets a young disciple named Timothy, and he desires to go to Asia, but the Spirit says, no, go to Macedonia. When he did, three churches came from that mission, Philippi, Thessalonica, and the followers in Berea. All three were healthy churches, and they all were different. The Bereans were theologians who carefully studied the word. The Thessalonians were excited for the gospel and were not afraid to share it. And the Philippians had a love to give. They were one of the healthiest and mature churches because they knew the secret of joy. I know that in these uncertain times, we can have fear, anger, frustration, and even despair. I suppose that Paul would be right to have these same feelings as well. Being chained to a Roman guard, waiting to go before Emperor Nero, his future and his life is totally out of his hands. But Paul knows that he is called by God to be in this very situation. So he has joy. And I know that the Lord has a purpose and calling for each one of us at Olivet Church, and that we are privileged to be a part of it. I also know that he wants each one of us to know the secret power of joy. So what is joy? Jesus, unless we have the contentment that comes from knowing I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Others, we will never help others with a selfish attitude. And yourself. We will rejoice with the well-being of others as we store up our treasures in heaven. If you want this joy, it comes down to two things. One, being content with where God has placed you, knowing that God will equip you with all you need in every situation. Point number four, when and where you invest your time and resources. Galatians 6, 9 to 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Our action steps for this week will be, praying for someone who is the most selfless, praying for someone is one of the most selfless things you can do. And I would like to serve. Do you feel like the Spirit is calling you to serve in a particular area? And to encourage, does a brother or sister's name keep popping into your thoughts, or should you lift them up in prayer and then encourage them? And supporting our church and our pastor, some people argue that Paul made tents to support himself. This was true with the church in Corinth, but otherwise he received support from the churches like Philippi. And we can visit. There are a number of individuals who are unable to join in our regular fellowship due to sickness, imprisonment, fear, or being banned from going to church. We can mentor each other. Do you know someone who could use a brother or sister to help sharpen each other's walk? And we can share our story. Do you know someone who does not know the freedom that you have in Christ? Or it could be something else that the Holy Spirit is calling you to do. Verse 17. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. When Paul was arrested, he didn't send Timothy off on a hunt for support. If he heard that someone was going to Philippi, he did not ask them to convey his need for help. He did appreciate the gift, but even more, he delighted in the attitude of their heart to please God. Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Their gift to Paul showed him that their heart was for God. And where their heart is, that is where their riches are. Acts 20, verses 33 to 35. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Paul knew that it takes hard work to help those in need. Paul was blessed by their gift, but he knew they had received the greater blessing. Verse 18, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Paul was grateful for the gift, but he is using accounting terms, credited to your account. I have received full payment. Paul blessed them with the gospel. Does that entitle him to certain privileges? Paul's payment wasn't the gift. It was the grace and love shown to him by the church in Philippi. Point number five. Have you received your payment in full? Have you experienced the grace and love here at Olivet? Verse 19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Paul's personal God, the one he has called on while floating in the Mediterranean Sea for days, the one he sang hymns to chained in prison, the God who has met all his needs, will meet your needs as well. Point number six, because giving with the right attitude will bring God's blessing on your needs. Not your wants, but your needs. And he knows all our needs, and he will satisfy them not with perishable earthly methods, but by his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Verse 20. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Paul says, hi. Timothy says, hey. The church in Rome says, hello. But especially those who belong to Caesar's household. Why Caesar's household? Philippians 1, verses 12 to 13. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. While Paul was in chains, his peace and contentment may have opened the ears to the gospel. Point number seven. But when believers share each other's burdens, it demonstrates God's love and results in praise, because they will know we are Christians by our love for one another. One of the biggest obstacles I find in sharing the gospel is the hurt and the scars in people's lives caused by bickering and fighting between Christians. We need to take our eyes off of the non-essentials and focus on the essentials. Today we bring out the balm to heal the hurt. When the world sees Christians helping each other selflessly and with joy, it gives them hope to rise above the hurt. That is what happened in Caesar's household. When we have the power of joy in our lives, we will be content with where our Lord has placed us, regardless of the situation. We will invest selflessly to our brothers and sisters in need. Then we will see the results of our Lord's gospel in a living and dynamic body. Then we will be satisfied wherever we are. Then we will be strong in whatever we do. Then we will be supplied with whatever we need. Just as Paul was chained to a Roman guard, we were chained to sin. At just the right time, from out of nowhere, a gift of love appears. A gift that was delivered at a great cost by an obedient servant. A gift that was a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. A gift that changes the lives of those who receive it. A gift of joy. What kind of gift will you give? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your presence and your power in our life. And we are thankful for your word and the power it has to change our lives, to change our perspective, and Lord, to allow us to appreciate and understand your will and, Lord, your actions in our lives. And Father, we all find ourselves in situations that are unfamiliar, but Lord, we take comfort, and Lord, we have confidence that you are in control, and Lord, that you know what tomorrow brings, you know what the next minute brings, you know what next month brings. And Father, I just pray that we would be putting our hearts and our will and, Lord, our hope in you and in your word and in your truth. And Father, I pray that you would be blessing us as a body, that you would be, Lord, that you'd be bringing us together, even though we can't be close, that we have to stay apart. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be together, our hearts would be unified in seeking you and pleasing you, Lord, and Lord, that you'd be allowing us to find your joy and your presence in our lives. And Father, I pray that you'd be watching over each one of us, that you'd be taking care of us, that you'd be keeping us, in your counsel and in your presence, and Lord, that you be allowing us to know that you are with us and that you are caring for us. And Father, we thank you for the fellowship of the saints, and Father, we look forward to seeing you with our own eyes one day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.